If you have your Bible this morning, turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. I want to begin reading this morning at verse number 5. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. You have your place, you want to stand, you can. Amen. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings or disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I be offered up upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus, to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." I want to preach this morning, it being a Memorial Day weekend, on this thought: the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. The ultimate sacrifice. As we look at the Word of God today, and as I was beginning to think on this, and God brought this text to my mind, I began to think on it, and the more I began to read it, as God brought it to my heart, I began to realize it's ultimate text for a day like today, as we celebrate the ultimate sacrifice that was given for you and I. Amen. The sacrifice, praise God, where nothing was held back, praise God, but the sacrifice was ultimate for you and me. Now the Bible says, Paul tells us here in Philippians chapter 2, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." He says what we need is the mind of Christ. And now Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, he stepped out of heaven, he come to earth, praise God, unreservedly. Amen. He said, in the beginning of time when man sinned in the garden, the Lord God of heaven looked down and he saw it. Amen. God, of course, God, we preached the other night that God recognizes all of our sin. He knows our sin, but yet he's God, and he's sitting there to make intercession for us all, to show us the right way when we want to go the wrong way. I'm glad my God's that way. Amen. He's there to look on me and see me, praise God, and to direct me to, in the direction that He'd have you and I to go. So we see this as God begins to play it out here. And the mind of Christ, praise God, when man was taken up in sin, when man transgressed against God, and the Lord said, you know what, I'm going to have to deal, God said, I'm going to have to deal with this. The Lord Jesus stepped up and He said, Father, I'll go. Amen. He made Himself to become the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. Amen. So He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of man. Now a lot of times we think about this, and I thought about this yesterday morning as I was sitting there in the study. A lot of times we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think of Him that He took on the form of man, but He wasn't really a man. But I want to say, according to the Word of God, amen, Brother Chris, He was 100% man, just like you and I. 100% man. He drank, He eat, He felt pain, He hurt. His heart was broken. Amen. He suffered sorrows. Amen. Just like you and I. So He was 100% man. He said, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Amen. He wasn't looking for a reputatious world. He didn't come to as a person of renown to be lifted up and magnified. He come to be a servant of the Lord. He come to be that price of sin for me and you. He come to be a man like us so that He could take upon Himself the sins of the world. Amen. I'm glad that when we accept Him in the free pardon of sin, our sins are gone. Amen. I like it. So our sins are gone, praise God. When we accept Lord Jesus Christ, the sin bearer that come to take our place on the cross of Calvary. He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Amen. And that likeness means the very form of. It wasn't a mirage. And it wasn't an imitation, but praise God, He was 100% man. Like I said, he lived in flesh, had flesh and blood just like you and I. Amen. He said the mind of Christ, He's talking about that, the way He felt, the way He acted and reacted, praise God, to the things of this world. Amen. But He had no reputation. He wasn't looking to make a name for Himself. He took on the form of a man and being found in fashion as a man. Amen. What did you say? When Peter, Paul, John, our disciples looked upon Lord Jesus Christ, what did they see? They saw a man. Amen. They saw a man 100% flesh. They saw a man, praise God, that was 100% God. You say, wait a minute, preacher. He can't be 100% God and be 100% flesh. Yes, He could. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that could ever fill both categories of being 100% man and 100% God. Amen. Because He had His mind and His focus on the Lord. That's why the Bible would tell us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Jesus Christ came to be an ultimate sacrifice for sinners like us. Now, I know we're living in a day and hour. It's not politically correct to call people sinners. Amen. I saw a so-called preacher a while back. He said, you know, we don't use that word sinner. Amen. If you never use the word sinner, how are you going to show your congregation that they're sinners? Amen. Let me just say this today. You are all sinners. Amen. I am a sinner. Amen. We were born in sin. Praise God. David said, I was conceived in iniquity. Amen. But we were brought into a sinful world because sin, amen. Sin is prevalent everywhere we look. And the only way to get past that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the sin bearer. Amen. Praise God. We put our faith and confidence in Him, praise God. We have the mind of Christ, praise God, knowing that He is, that we look at our Heavenly Father, realize that He sent the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. Amen. He said, if he had found in fashion as a man, and He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we see what Jesus done for us. He come to earth to be the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. Now, what does that mean? The Bible tells us that He laid down His life. Amen. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 12. Jesus says this to the disciples. Now this is in the garden when he was in the garden, and he's speaking of the vines and the branches and the things and how to have a relationship with God. He said, this is my commandment, verse 12, John 15 and 12. He said that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now we see the mind of Christ here as he starts telling us how much he loves us. Amen. The mind of Christ will tell us, will show us how much he loves us. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He said, there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus said, I lay down my life, praise God, that I might take it up. You say, well, why would he do that? So that he might be pleasing to God. In Philippians chapter 2, he says this in verse 9, he says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name. Now, there's a lot of heavenly things in the heavenlies. There's the cherubims and all the things that's there that's praising and giving God glory. They was created to do that, and they're doing. You know, me and you were created to do that too. Amen. Brother Lynn, we were created to give God glory every day of our lives. To wake up in the morning praising God. To bow our heads before we eat, praising God. We ought to bow our head before we go to bed and praise God for the day that He's given us. We were created to praise God. Amen. He said that at the name of Jesus, verse 10, every knee should bow. And now he's not just talking about knees in heaven. He ain't talking about when we get home. He's talking about that every knee should bow all the time. He said, for of the things in heaven and the things in earth. Now watch this. And the things under the earth. Do you realize one day hell's going to bow before Lord Jesus Christ and say, Thou art God. Amen. There'll still be God denying, God rejecting, God cursing. But they will bow their knee. And they'll look up with those red blistery eyes from the fires of hell. And they'll say that to you, Lord Jesus, you are God. And beside you, there's no other. Amen. Praise God. They will give Him the glory. He said that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So why would they do that? The same reason we do it. When we praise and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Father said that He looked down upon Him and He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when we lift up the name of Jesus, praise God, it brings glory to the Father. That's why, hey listen, church, that's why it feels so good when we do it. Amen? Because we're bringing glory to our Heavenly Father every time we lift up the name of Jesus. Now I'm not talking about just mentioning Him in a casual circumstance. Now no, when we actually praise Him and lift up the name of the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, thank You. Praise God, I couldn't do nothing without You. And mean it from your heart. I think a lot of times we have it in our head. We say it with our mouth, but we don't feel it in our hearts. And I know many times I've told you, say, you know, we don't run on feeling. But I praise God, when you got the Lord in your head and your heart, praise God, you got the feeling, praise God, that goes with it. Amen. I'm glad I can feel the Savior that's in me, praise God. I'm glad that I know the Holy Ghost of God, because He ministers in my life. He said, all the things, praise God, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, because He is well pleasing to God. Amen. He laid down His life for you and I. Who did He lay down? He laid down His life for the brethren. Amen. The Bible says if we love one another, that we'll lay down our lives for the brethren. So who are the brethren this morning? It's our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Praise God. Wait, let me just say this. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, amen, we ought to be willing to fight for them. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, if somebody starts bad-mouthing you, beating you down, praise God, they better not do it in front of me. Amen. Because they'd be looking for a fight. We need to be able to lift up, encourage each other, love each other. Amen. You say, preacher, I've got an ought against such and such and so and so. Praise God. The Bible says if you're a child of God, you can fix that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we're required to fix that. Amen. He said, before you can bring an offering and a sacrifice, praise God, you've got to go to God. If you got an all with a brother, you got an all, praise God, you're supposed to go and fix that. He said, you leave that and you go and fix that, praise God, or your sacrifice is for naught. Amen? He said, we should love the brethren. Look at 1 John chapter number 3. Now, I think it's kind of amazing, 1 John chapter number 3, because it kind of goes in with John 3:16. 1 John chapter number 3. Well, let's just go back to verse 13. He said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now, listen, church family, the world that we live in is not going to like us very often. They're not gonna snuggle up with you and appreciate you because you love Lord Jesus Christ and because you like to go to church and you like the Word of God and you like gospel singing and you like gospel preaching. Amen. The world won't snuggle up to you and say, well, that's a good thing. Amen. They'll hate you for that because they don't know what you have. He said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He said, in other words, what he's saying here, you've never been saved. Amen? He said, if we can't love the brother and sister in Christ, said we're lost. If we can't find something to love about our brother and sister in Christ, praise God, he said, we're lost. He said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Oh, me. Boy, just think if you hold an ought against a brother and sister in Christ. He said, in a category of God, he said, he's got you categorized with a murderer. God help us. Amen. He said, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Boy, we ought to check up, oughtn't we? Those things that we do, those things that we think, those ways that we act, praise God. God knows about. You're not hiding them from him. He knows the thought and intent of the heart, dividing asunder the soul and spirit. Praise God, we need to be mindful of the Lord. He said, hereby perceive we the love of God. He said, this is how we know. Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for who? For the brethren. Amen. So what we see here, the ultimate sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is he laid down his life, amen, for us. We see it in the Lord. We not only see it in the Lord, but we see it in Paul. Paul gave his whole life for the ministry of the Word of God. Paul, amen, he started out in the wrong road. Amen, he had good teaching, had good bringing up, but he took it in the wrong direction. Amen, if we ain't careful, we take it in the way of man, we take it in the way of our flesh instead of the way of God. Amen. We can take God's word and we can manipulate it to be what we want to do so that we can attain to the power, our little power grab that we would like to have. But God says he's not in a power grab. Because God has all power. Amen. God has the means, praise God, to the end. And he said, hey, listen, I've got this thing fixed up. He said, I've got it designed, and I put it in the volume of a book. He said, the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instruction before leaving earth. And said, we just need to make plans, amen, according to what God's directions give us. Praise the Lord. So we see the Lord, amen, in ultimate sacrifice. We see Paul in ultimate sacrifice. He gave himself for the Lord. On the road to Damascus, he bowed and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. And the Holy Ghost of God began to deal with him. He went blind up into the city. And they come to him. They said, Brother Saul, said, this is what you need to do. This is what God wants you to do. God's called you into the ministry. He said, not the wrong one, but the right one. He's not giving you praise God, that street called straight. It's where he's put you. And he said, because God put you on straight street, he wants you to go in a straight way. He said, preacher, how do we go straight? Praise God, by getting the Lord Jesus Christ, making the Lord of our life, and letting him guide us every step of the way. He'll make a difference. Amen. The ultimate sacrifice. Praise God. Paul says here, he said, wherefore, my beloveds, as ye have always obeyed, not in the presence, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. He said, we need to work out, praise God, to accomplish what God wants to do. I have a question. I wonder what we want to accomplish. A lot of people say, well, preacher, I'd like to accomplish. I'd like to have a big house and have this and have that and have a good job. Praise God. What I want to accomplish is be pleasing to God. Amen. Contrary to all that stuff, Because God's promised that He would take care of us. You know, it may, newsflash, I won't break your heart, bust your bubble. It may be that God don't want you, don't want me, don't want us to have all these things. Amen? It may be that God wants us to just have Him as our Lord and Savior. To be mindful of Him. He said, then, He said, God can begin to add these things unto us. To give us those things, praise God, for His glory. In other words, God is a rewarding God. I believe that. He rewards us for our service. He rewards us for our doing. He rewards us for our testimony. Praise God. He gives us those things. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You say, preacher, you mean in all the things that's happened in this world, we can still shine? Praise God, like the noonday sun. Amen. Praise God. Even the more right now, praise God, in all this difficulty, people are stressing, people are wondering, people are worried. Praise God, but we ought to come out with a smile on our face and say, praise God, I know who my Redeemer is. I know that God is in control. Praise God, He's never relinquished any power. He's still an all-powerful God. He's still my God. He's still your God. He's still on the throne. He's still making a difference in the hearts and minds of people. Amen. He said, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice. Have you ever thought about Paul? If you've got the maps of Paul's journeys in your Bible, you ought to study them sometime. Paul journeyed, praise God, continuously traveling for the Lord. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miles. Through beatings, amen. Through stonings. Through shipwreck. Paul kept on traveling for the Lord, Brother Kevin. He kept doing those things, praise God, to bring glory. To put out the name of his Savior. Because what Jesus done for him on the road to Damascus. Paul never got over that. Amen. He kept telling that story. He made the ultimate sacrifice. People didn't like it. Nero got him and locked him up in prison. Several times Paul was locked up for preaching the gospel. Have you ever been locked up for preaching the gospel? No hands? Paul was locked up several times. You know what he did? Miles, you know what he did? He started a jailhouse ministry. Amen. Praise God, those that was locked up with him, those soldiers that was chained to him by day, praise God, he just got to tell them about Jesus. Amen. Praise God, by the end of the day, it shift changed. That old jailer, praise God, that guard, he would say, hey, they'd unhook him, hook him to another. He said, boy, I'm glad you're here. Praise God, I ain't heard nothing but Jesus all day. Amen. I believe when old Paul got done with him, I'm talking about the ultimate sacrifice. When old Paul got done with them guards, at the end of the day, praise God, they went home and they was thinking about Jesus. They was eating about Jesus. They was sleeping on Jesus, praise God. Because Paul made the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. But then he goes on here and he said, yea, if I offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. He said, praise God. He said, I did what I did for the glory of God. Praise God, you might get a hold of a little of it too. Amen. Praise God. The sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice I made, it wasn't for me. It was for you, for God's glory. Praise God. What we do, we ought to do for the people, for our families, for our friends. Praise God, for God's glory. Amen. And then we see Timothy. The Bible said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. That I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Paul says, listen, said, I'm going to send my son Timothy. He was a son because Paul had led him to the Lord. He said, I'm going to send Timothy so he can be with you, so he can know what's going on with you. So praise God, I can get word back that everything's going all right, praise God, down there in Philippi. And he said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He said, there's no man like Timothy. Amen. Praise God. He had a mother and a grandmother who loved the Lord, who brought him up in the nurture and admonition, praise God, of a holy and a righteous God, and pointed him in the right direction and said, Timothy, come out there shouting and praising and giving God glory. He said, remember, praise God. When he stirred up that remembrance, praise God, of where God brought him from, the family that he put him in, praise God, for even for his glory. We see Timothy, the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. He began to make the journeys. He began to do the things, praise God, to bring glory to his name, the name of Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. He said, but that ain't Timothy. Listen to what he says, verse 22. He said, but you know the proof of him, Timothy, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Amen. Praise God. He's picked up the heritage. He's carried that old banner. Praise God. Timothy has stepped up into an ultimate sacrifice. He committed himself unto the Lord, praise God, and he's committed himself unto you. And he's coming, praise God. Amen. He's coming to a theater near you, praise the Lord, where he'll preach the gospel. He'll give you the proof of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll magnify the God of glory. Amen. He'll show you the way. Praise God. He said, him therefore I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Paul said, I don't know what's going to happen with me. Amen. He said, I don't know what's happening. He said, I've made the ultimate sacrifice. He said, what Paul's saying, he said, Brother Rex, he said, I've just put it in God's hands. Amen. You know what we need to do today, church? Everything happening around, we just need to put it in God's hands. Amen. There's nothing that we can do personally. Just try to be safe and do that that's good for the good glory of God. But we just need to put it in God's hands. Say, Lord, I know I can't, but you can. Lord, I know that you're in control. Amen. Praise God. You know what happens when we believe in faith? Faith takes over. Faith begins to do for us what God can do. Amen. It takes and gives us a bigger orchestrator than what we can accomplish within ourselves. So we see Paul, we see the Lord, we see Paul, we see Timothy. But then we see this man Epaphroditus. Now I just want to focus on him for just a minute, because it speaks briefly of him. But this man Epaphroditus, praise God. And now what all these men did, you know what all these men, all these servants of God, all these that make an ultimate sacrifice, you know what that shows? All these men and women that died for this country, you know what it shows? It shows love. Amen. It shows the love of country, and it shows the love for the citizens of that country. Amen. It shows that they love me and you. And they love what we stand for. What do we stand for? We stand for God and His glory. So we see all these men. We see the Lord. We see Paul. We see Timothy. And we see Epaphroditus. And we see them standing, praise God, showing love. But we also see a sacrifice. He said, yet I suppose it necessary, verse 25, to send to you Epaphroditus. Amen. And Paul says, Epaphroditus, praise God, he said, is my brother. He's a brother in Christ, worthy of lifting up, worthy of encouraging. Amen. Praise God. Now I want you to notice some things about all these people. The ultimate sacrifice. Number one, they sacrificed their safety. Amen. Every one of them sacrificed their safety. Paul was in prison. Timothy, if you'll read and study, Timothy spent a time in prison. Amen. They sacrificed their safety in order to go out and do the good of God, to do what God would have them to do. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't think I'd want to sacrifice my safety. They did, because they were willing to give the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. Praise God. They sacrificed their safety. It'd been easier to stay at home. It'd been easier to stay where they was at. It'd been easier, you know, to just come take up some space in a pew for an hour or two a week and call it service to God. But these people were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to move out of their safety zone. They were willing to step out for the cause of Christ. They were willing to put feet on their prayers. Amen. So they were willing to sacrifice safety. Amen. Praise God. He said, my brethren and companion in labor. He was willing to sacrifice safety. He was willing to sacrifice himself. Amen. I wonder today, are we willing to sacrifice ourselves for the cause of Christ? Now, I'm not talking about going out here and laying down an altar and letting somebody stick a knife in you. Amen. I'm talking about willing to put yourself out there, praise God, forsaking your safety, praise God, and forsaking yourself for the cause of Christ. and say, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid no more. I'm just going to lift up the name of Jesus everywhere I go. Amen. I want to say, listen, we spoke of missionaries earlier, and our missionaries where they're at, and some of them is in harm's way this morning. But praise God, they're there on purpose. Amen. They're making an ultimate sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got missionaries that we support here that sold their homes, they sold their cars, they sold everything they have. Praise God, they put everything that they own, everything they get in a two by three box, and they sent it to a foreign country because God Almighty had touched their heart and it said, you know what, Lord, we're going to make an ultimate sacrifice. We're going to sell out for you, praise God, lock, stock, and barrel, and we're going to go for God, and we're going to be faithful to you. We're going to make an ultimate sacrifice for God. You say, preacher, I've never done that. That's scary. You bet you, you bet it is. Amen. It is scary. Scary for them. But their God is big enough. Their God is able to take care of them. I'm glad that we can be just a little part of that, ain't you? Amen. And boy, we're seeing God do marvelous, wonderful things. Brother Murray had emailed me this week about what's taking place over there where he is. We've got into all the police departments. And God Almighty's a moving and said we've been supplying needs and been helping and praying with them and ministering to them and preaching to them. And praise God. And said we're getting more and more calls. They're wanting us over here and they're wanting us over there and they're wanting the Word of God and they're wanting the people of God. He said there's not enough of us to go around. But praise God, he said, we're making all the sacrifice. We're putting ourselves out there, praise God. And God is supplying the need. Amen. People's getting saved. People getting born again. People's getting the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. They left their sacrifice safety. They sacrificed self. They sacrificed their situation. Amen. I got to thinking about that. Sacrificed our situation. Do you realize that in World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, we had young men. And I can't relate to the world, but I can relate to the community in which we live. And I can relate to these young farm boys. Amen. Brother Larry, that situation's come up and the demon of hell, amen, come down and they were pointing at the United States of America and said, we're going to come and we're going to destroy you. We're going to take what you got. And they, some young men and women, praise God, and they said, no, you're not. I'm talking about good old farm boys. I'm talking about folks like us and that grew up in the country. And they said, you know what? We got a God that we love, and we got a God that we stand for, and we got a country, praise God, that's full of God, and we're not going to let you do it. Amen. Amen. It'd been easy to stay down on the farm. Amen. Kick back in the luxury of life. Taking one day at a time, as the sun come up, do your chores the afternoon, go to the swimming hole. But they made the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. They made the ultimate sacrifice. They said, you know what? We're going to stand with God. And we're going to stand with our country. And boys, young men, in the prime of life, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. He said, wait a minute, preacher. They couldn't have went that early. Some of them lied about their age. Some of them lied about their age because there was something in America that was instilled in their soul, praise God, that they couldn't get past. And they said, when the demons of hell is coming after homes and are coming after our families, we're going to rise up and we're going to put our name on the dotted line and we're going to go and we're going to fight. They sacrificed their situation. Boy, it'd been easy to sit home and write letters to your brother over in the battlefield. But history tells us, Brother Rex, that sometimes two and three and even four brothers would go and join, sign up to go to the battle, to put up the fight, to stay a resistance. They changed their situation, sacrificed their situation, gave the ultimate sacrifice. I remember the stories you heard just a while back. We talked about when they stormed the beaches of Normandy. And they... I've got family that was there. They said they pulled up in them things, them amphibious vehicles, and they dropped that gate. And said as they dropped the gate down, said bodies begin to fall. And said in order to get into the water to get to the beach, you had to crawl across bodies. Had to crawl across their friends in order to get to the battle. But they never slowed down. They never looked back, praise God. They just plowed ahead. And when that one would got empty, when there was nothing left, they would be about nothing would pull up. And that gate would drop down and there would go some more. What did they made an ultimate sacrifice. Their situation. Most of them were volunteers. Amen. They decided to change their situation, to sacrifice their situation. Praise God for the cause of Christ. Amen. For the glory of a country. Amen. Paul said, Epaphroditus, who's my brother, companion in labor, and fellow soldier. Amen. He said he was willing to take up arms. He was willing to go a little farther. I got to thinking this. I got to looking yesterday evening. And I got to thinking about Epaphroditus. And he doesn't elaborate on him a whole lot. It just elaborates, praise God, that he gave an ultimate sacrifice. I got to study and I thought from Philippi. And the Bible teaches that he went to Paul in Rome. Now I got to looking that up and doing some calculation. According to my best calculation, it's about 4,600 miles from Philippi to Rome. Now think about the Epaphroditus. Now listen, he would have left Philippi. See, he had already done this before. Paul tells us that when he was in Thessalonica, and the poor people of Thessalonica, they had no means to help him along his way. But the Bible teaches us in Philippians chapter 4 that there was somebody come along when he was in Thessalonica. And they come from Philippi over 100 miles to where Paul was, praise God, to minister to his needs. To help him, to bring him, when nobody else could, praise God. Paul said the folks at Philippi, praise God, they sent the means, praise God, to continue the ministry. That's what missionary work is. It's meeting a need, amen. Supplying the need. So we see this fellow Epaphroditus, as he heads out, a fellow soldier. He said, but your messenger. Now, a messenger is someone that makes a trip with a cause. Amen. So we're seeing not only a sacrifice of situation, but a sacrifice in service. We see Epaphroditus as he leaves Philippi. And he hears about the situation that Paul's in over in Rome. Word gets back to Philippi. And so Epaphroditus, he says, listen, young'uns, God has burdened my heart. I've got to go and see Paul. I've got to see if I can help him with anything he needs. So the Bible tells Epaphroditus, he leaves out. And he heads for Rome. 4,608 miles. Now, he didn't get on a Boeing 747 on a Friday morning and end up over there, praise God, on Friday evening. It didn't happen that way. Epaphroditus, praise God, he stepped out of his safety. He stepped out of self. He stepped out of his situation. And he stepped out into service for the Lord. Praise God, he put, hey, glory be to God. He put his walking shoes on and he headed out for the glory of God. Amen. Now, best I can estimate this thing, it would have took him about 180 some days to travel from. If you figure, they said the average person can travel between 20 and 25 miles a day. So you do the math. It would have took him about 186 days to make that journey. Give or take a few days, because when he got on a boat, when he was going across, praise God, he could have maybe made it a little faster than that. Then you could have walked. But it still would have took him a while. But now notice this, what I got to thinking, the uncertainty of it all. Now they didn't have fast internet like we got today. They didn't have AT&T and Verizon to make a call. Amen. Word had come, and by the time the word had come to Philippi, that Paul was locked up in Rome and he needed some assistance, and that they, praise God, they realized they had the assistance. They could help him. They wanted to help him. If it meant sacrificing themselves, the people of Philippi, praise God, they said, hey, listen, we're going to send him some help. Epaphroditus, he said, praise God, I'll go. With uncertainty. He loaded up, packed up, amen, put on his clothes. Maybe he took a, told the people, said, listen, said, now just think about it. Now this is a day when they was thieves and rogues, just like he is today. Amen. Traveling was hazardous to the health. Amen. Not only from the toil of it, but from the bandits, the road bandits, the robbers. And he strapped on his money around his waist, girded himself up in his robe, tried to hide it the best he could. And he said, young, kissed his family, kissed his people, kissed the church the goodbye, praise God on the morning, and he said, I'm headed to Rome. Epaphroditus, man of God. Paul said, I mean, he says this so nonchalantly, praise God. If we ain't careful, that's how we take it. But he said, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. He didn't say that lightly. He said, companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger. And he that ministered to my wants. Epaphroditus, he left south there, Brother Kevin, and he heads for Rome. Now listen, with uncertainty, he doesn't even know when he gets to Rome if Paul will still be there. So he heads out, maybe a journey that could took several months to make. I mean, toiling every day to get there. To get there to be help to his brother. And he heads out anyway. Amen. With the desire, praise God, to do something for the glory of God. To help a brother. He said, what greater love hath than a man lay down his life for his brother? And the Bible says that Epaphroditus, praise God, as he heads out and he heads for Rome, he said, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. So somewhere along the way, Epaphroditus, he was doing something. Now listen to this. He was doing something for God's glory. Amen. He was stepping out on faith. He was going to help a brother in Christ. But he got sick. Wait a minute, preacher. He's bound to have been out of the will of God or he had never got sick. There's nowhere in this Bible that there's Bible for that. Bible says that we live in a sin-cursed world and any of us is apt to get sick at any time. We live in a world termed. We live in a world full of disease and pestilence and chaos. And man only makes that worse. We don't ever make it better. Hello? Amen. If you got an idea in your heart, pray God that you can make it better. Amen. You might as well think again. There's only one that can ever make that better, and that's God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. One day in a little while, praise God, that He'll rule and reign for 1,000 years in this place. Praise God, everything will be better. Amen. So the Bible says Epaphroditus takes off for Rome, and he gets sick. Paul says in verse 27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. Praise God. He got sick. He just about died. But now notice this. He never quit pressing on. Amen. How do you know, preacher? Because he made it to Rome. He made it to Paul. He made it to his objective, praise God. He was a servant of the Lord, praise God, and he never quit. Listen, it don't matter what we go through, what we deal with, what we may come in contact with this life, praise God, we just need to keep pressing on toward glory. For the glory of God, amen. Making the ultimate sacrifice. Just keep praising God as we go. Bless His holy name. He said, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also. Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul said, boy, it broke my heart if he had died. Amen. Paul said he made an ultimate sacrifice. He traveled the distance, praise God, to supply that need. He said, listen, youngins at Philippi, he said, you couldn't supply the need. You weren't, not that you didn't want to, you weren't able, but praise God, they was an able-bodied man, stepped out of his situation, stepped out of his self and his circumstances, and he come to where I was. It broke my heart when I found out he was sick. But praise God, thank God for the mercy of God. You know, God's mercy will bring you through sickness. Amen. We're promised that God's mercy. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. I had somebody tell me today, preacher, I don't know about this God that you serve. If he was God that you say and he loves us, pray, why does he let somebody die? Why does he let people suffer in sickness? Amen. He has mercy on them sometimes and takes them out of that. Amen. Don't leave them in it. He's not put on more than you bear, but with it, he'll make a way of escape. That way is the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. Amen. Before we get more than we can bear within ourselves, the Lord Jesus Christ reached down and snatched us out of it. Praise God. And I want to say this in authority of God's Word and every example that we've ever had in the Word of God. When Jesus reaches down and touches you, you're made better. Amen. Praise God. There's never nobody that's ever been left like they were. When Jesus takes you out here, praise God, He makes you better. He gives you the strength. Amen. Praise God. When you sacrifice, He gives you strength. And Paul tells us in chapter number 4, in verse number 10, he said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherefore ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He said, you took up the collections, you made the offer, and said you had a desire. He said, but you weren't able to get to everything where you would like to, where you had your heart's desire to get it there. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Are you content this morning? Let me say, you can be content if you're in the Lord. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We've all been there. We have good days and we have bad days. We have good times and not so good times. Amen? But he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Praise God. So Paul's saying here, he said the ultimate sacrifice, Epaphroditus, he gave that in the strength, in the safety, in the self, praise God, in the situation, in the service that he offered unto the Lord. He said, this service wasn't to me, it was to God. We need to remember, church, who we're serving. Amen. When we serve our fellow man in the right spirit, praise God, we're not serving and helping our fellow man. We're magnifying, glorifying God. Amen. Because we love the brethren. Praise God. So we see the power of an almighty God. Amen. In ultimate sacrifice. Amen. What Paul says in verse 18 of chapter 4. He said, but I have all and abound. He said, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. You know what that means? That everybody in the church that gave, praise God, participated in what was given. Amen. They all received part of the blessing. Praise God. So what are you saying? I'm saying it was a reward. He said, an odor of sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable and it's well-pleasing to God. When we make the ultimate sacrifice for the glory of God, he said, God smiles on it. Amen. Ain't you glad when God smiles? Amen. Amen. Praise God. When God's happy, it's kind of like mama. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Amen. Amen. And she'll make sure of that. But praise God, when God's happy, we can all rejoice in the glory of God. And we can all be partakers of the reward. You know, there's a reward for ultimate sacrifice. The Bible says in verse 19, he says this. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? God said, I'll take care of all your need. He said, when we strive to bring glory to God, when we offer up an ultimate sacrifice of praise and worship and a service to Him, God said, I'll take care of all your need. You know, looking around here this morning, I don't see there's a whole lot of people here this morning and won't. Amen? Praise God. If you have a need, if you have a need, and praise God, God will meet that need. Praise the Lord. He said, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he says, the ones that make an ultimate sacrifice, he said, it brings glory to God. And God, through being glorified and magnified, He begins to bless us. And we begin to be partakers of the blessings of a holy God. I don't know about you, God's blessed me. Amen. I feel His presence. I know His love. Praise God. I thank God for what He's done in my heart. Praise God. He said, Epaphroditus, praise the Lord, he stepped out on faith. He was willing to sacrifice all that he was for the glory of God. You say, preacher, how does a man come to that place? Well, he comes to that place when he realized, praise God, when he steps out of his safe zone, when he sacrifices himself, when he's willing to move into a different situation, amen, when he's willing to offer up service to God, to do it for His glory and not to be seen of men. Amen. We have to evaluate sometimes the ultimate sacrifice. We do it not to be seen of men. You know, as I was talking about a minute ago, those men that fell in Normandy and these other places around the world, Vietnam. Our people went to Vietnam, they went to North Korea, and a lot of them are never mentioned. Amen. We got families all across this country who gave their people, who sacrificed, ultimate sacrifice, and are never mentioned. They didn't go do it because so that their name might be up in Hollywood lights. They done it because they seen a need and they was willing to sacrifice, make an ultimate sacrifice of themselves. I said that to say this morning in closing. It's up to us, praise God, to make an ultimate sacrifice, to see the need. And if there's ever been a need, brothers and sisters, it's right now to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. To lift up His name so that our people might be saved and might come to repentance. Might come to know Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. It's up to us to make that stepping out, that making that sacrifice today in the hour that we need, so that souls might be saved.